Good morning, everyone. Welcome, everybody. We're glad that you're here today, and we trust that as we think about the great celebration of the 4th of July tomorrow, the freedom, isn't it great to be called American, to live in the United States of America, to be able to have the great privileges that we have in this life? I just know you're thankful. I am. And we want to rejoice and be glad and be thankful to God for all the great and marvelous blessings that He gives to us too. And therefore, I just don't believe I can start this service, my part of it, without singing that song, God is so good, to let me live in America, to let me be a member of the Lord's church, be able to be preaching the gospel of Christ, have brothers and sisters in Christ like all of you. Oh, it's just so great and so good. So can I please get you one more time to please stand and let's sing together. God is so good. God is so good. Everybody. God
is so good.
God is so good. He's so good to me. Jesus. Jesus is real. Jesus is real. He's so real to me. What has He done? He saved my soul. He saved my soul. He saved my soul. And He made me whole. What will I do? I praise His name. I praise His name. He's so good to me. Thank you so much. Jeff, you did a great job in reading the scriptures. Appreciate the singing, the prayer today. And what a great thing it is, as I said in the very beginning, that we can be the people that we are because we love the Lord. However, in the reading of the scriptures this morning, then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware. So you got to take heed. You need to be aware of what? And notice what Jesus said. Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He's speaking to His disciples. He's speaking to those that He loves. He knew what could a little leaven can do. And then they began to reason among themselves, saying, we know why He's making that statement. He's making that statement because we forgot to bring any bread. And listen to what Jesus said when Jesus perceived. He said unto them, oh, ye of little faith. Who did He say that to? To people that were His. People that had shown and been able to see the demonstration that He had over and over and over proven that He was the master of it all. He said, oh, ye of little faith. I wonder if He could say that to us. Why reason ye among yourselves? Because we brought no bread? Do you not yet understand? Don't you comprehend? Don't you know from experience? I wasn't talking about physical bread. Neither do you remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000? 5 loaves. 2 fishes. He had fed 5,000 men plus women and children. And they had taken up 12 basketfuls afterwards. If you'd been in that assembly, if you'd been one of those 5,000 men and one of those women and children, would you have thought, would you have said that and be questioning the Lord? Don't you remember I did that? And then He says, not only that, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000. And how many baskets you took up after that? 7 baskets full, feeding 4,000 people. Don't you understand? Can't you comprehend? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning physical bread? I'm throwing that in. That's what he's talking about. That you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. I'm not talking about that. And now, Jesus gives them the answer. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Beware. Over and over in the Bible, we have this exhortation. Beware. I remember one time I was with this and went to a garage sale, and this lady said, I've got a rocking chair next door I'd like to sell you. I said, okay, I'll walk across the street there. And I'll look at it. And she went in the house and told me to come up. And on the other side of that fence, there was a big dog. And I'm telling you what, you want to be careful about some dogs. Anyway, when she came out, she had a rocking chair, and I was on the other side of the fence. And she said, well, it's all right for you to put your hand over here. Oh, she said, my dog just loves people, and especially men. Especially men. She loves them. Oh, I thought that's pretty good. So I put my hand over like this to help get the rocking chair up. Guess what? That dog got a hold of my hand like that, and boy, I'm telling you what, I didn't know she's going to give it up. Finally, she did. And that dog bit my hand. I had to go to the hospital. I don't know how many stitches I had. Later on, when I asked her to take care of my medical bills, oh, she said, I told you to beware of the dog. Oh, boy. Stories can change real quick. Beware. We know what it means. It means be vigilant, be watchful, be careful, observe. That's what it's talking about. And so Jesus here says, you beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And I found that picture and I thought, ooh, dogs can really tear you up, and I remember that. I want you this morning to think about all the things the Bible says about us being wet. Number one, notice that he says, then beware lest thou forget the Lord. What? You mean people would forget God? Are there people today that will forget the Lord? Back in those days in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 12, beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and God instituted them, and how that they were to have these various feasts so that they wouldn't forget. When I turn to Matthew 7:15, the Bible says, beware false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inward they are ravening wolves. What do you mean? There are people today that are out there teaching and they're advocating things contrary to the doctrine of Christ. Yes, what did Jesus say? You beware. In Mark 12, verse 38, he said to them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes. Why? Because they love to go in long clothing, love salutations in the marketplaces. They love to be looked up to. You beware of those people. In Luke 12, verse 15, and Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Possessions do not equate what a man really is. Then he uses the term Paul does when he writes to the Philippians. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. There were people that were acting like dogs. Beware of those people. Evil workers and the Jews that are trying to get you to follow after the Jewish law. It's now out. It's been nailed to the cross. And then in Colossians 2 and verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. People have all kinds of ways of teaching things that are contrary to Christ. And so he says, you make sure that you beware of those. And then he says, Peter says in 2 Peter 3, verse 17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. And so the exhortation of the Bible is for us to beware. And Jesus said in Matthew 10, 17, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. You need to beware. I read an article about our government. It said our government has put us on a state of alert on many occasions. We have been told when our government received information regarding the possibility of a terrorist attack, the decision has been made to pass that information along to us rather than keep us in the dark. And so we have been warned. Beware. The warning is to stay alert. We must stay alert because there are those, and listen, who would destroy us. There are those who would destroy our lives. There are those who would destroy our children. There are those who would destroy our loved ones. And there are those who would take away our entire way of life. We've been asked to keep our eyes open, to be aware, to be vigilant, to watch out for strange things, and to notify authorities when something suspicious is going on. And considering what we're facing today, surely that is a good idea. But there's another area. Another area where we must stay alert as well. We must be alert spiritually because there are dangers to our faith. There are dangers to Christianity. So we must keep our eyes and our ears open and be aware of what is happening around us. You see, there are those who would pervert the truth of the Christianity, and this perversion manifests itself in subtle ways. My friend, our text tells us, beware. Beware of those who were advocating things that were contrary to God. Three things in the lesson will be yours. Number one, beware of covetous and greed. In Luke 15, 12, verse 15, he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. That's an interesting statement. It's true. It matters not what you may have. That's not what you are. Possessions are nice, yes. But possessions, when they control you, can destroy you. The problem with covetousness and envy is to bring about destruction. In Proverbs 14 and verse 30, the wise man says, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy is the rottenness of the bones. Yes, beware. Number two, beware of hypocrisy, as we've just heard a sermon recently on that. In the meantime, when there were gathered together innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And he says, that's hypocrisy. Just simply acting. Acting out something that, just like on a stage, means really nothing. When we go to the Scriptures, we find in Proverbs 30, verse 12, there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. We assume what we do is right. We should. We impose our standards on others. And sometimes we ourselves are inconsistent. We need to be aware. In Proverbs 14, verse 12, there is a way. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways that lead you to death. In Isaiah 28, verse 17, but they also have erred through wine and through strong drink, are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. Who? The priest and the prophet. The priest is of God. The prophet is supposed to be speaking for the Lord. And what are these people doing? Teaching and advocating things which God does not, and showing their own hypocrisy. But they've erred, God said. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They're out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. Why? They won't listen to God. We have to have leaders, overseers in the church of the Lord. And I mentioned last Sunday, these men are to be respected. They have the right. They are given by God. But they have the tremendous responsibility to make sure that everything that they do is in harmony with the will of the Lord. And we have the responsibility to work so that that may be accomplished. We're not just putting on a play. It's not an act of hypocrisy. What we're doing is with insincerity. Serving the Lord. And serving the Lord in keeping with His will. Elders are to be men who are qualified. Men who love the Lord. Men who desire the work of the Lord. Men who will work in the service of the Lord. Thank God we have been blessed with men like that here. Yes, my friends, then we as a congregation of God's people are to work in harmony so that God's will may be accomplished to the glory of God. We are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things as contrary to the will of the Lord. Number three, and I really want to emphasize this. It matters not who preaches from this pulpit. If they preach that which is false, advocate anything contrary to the will of God, listen to what God says. Here's the danger. You therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. And then he says, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. You know what that means to you and to me? It means that we ought to be growing. I've told you, I don't know many times, when my children were growing up, on the door facing there, and they're going into their bedroom. Every so often, I'd measure them. I wish I'd kept that when we left. I'd love to have that today. But when I would measure my son, Tim, I'd put the date there. Tabitha came along. She wanted to be measured. Put on the other side, Tabitha. Measure. Ever so often, they'd say, Daddy, how about measuring me? Do y'all do that with any of your children? I think you can buy one of those things, can't you? Where you can actually just stand your children up there. Well, you want them to grow. And every time one of them would go up maybe an inch or 2 inches, they'd smile, they'd be happy. Tim has often told me later, he said, but I stopped growing up as far as height is concerned. Can't say that about Braden. I tell you what, he's way up there now. But friends, you want to grow, are you? Are we growing? You never grow if you're not fed the Word of God. God, the Bible tells us in Acts 20, Paul said, but now I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up. But it'll not build you up if you do not study, meditate, and grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. But that means I as a preacher, Matt as a preacher, the other Matt over here, Jay and Al, any of those that come, we have the responsibility of teaching the truth. In Proverbs 23:23, by the truth. In John 8 and verse 32, and you shall know the truth. In John 17, Jesus said, neither pray I for these alone, but for all them who are my people. And he said that we all may be one. But how can that be? How can we be one? By following the one truth. Jude said in verse 3, Beloved, when I gave all diligence unto you to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints. We love the Lord, don't we? We're thankful for the Lord. Many blessings. How much do you love Him? How much do I love Him? Somebody tells you, you know what? You can forget about eating the Lord's Supper Sunday. Go on a vacation. Go do something. Do something you like. Today off. Would you dare believe that? It's okay with God? When the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hebrews 10, verse 25. You ever get up on Sunday morning, you're kind of tired? Feel like you just can't make it? You ever done that on Monday morning about going to work? Just can't make it. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes you're really sick and you can't go. But my friend, I hope and pray that we'll never use sickness as an excuse for us not doing the will of God if it's something we can control. If we can control it, if I can go and do everything else, you mean I can't sit in the house of the Lord for just an hour or so on Sunday? 2 hours maybe of Bible class? Somebody says, don't worry, it's okay. You don't have to worry about your soul. You are all right. You're going to go to heaven when you die. Well, the preacher, he'll say all things so good about you. Friend, what really matters is what you are. And we are what we are because of the teaching that God gives to us. The price of freedom is eternal vigilance, and so we must beware. We are perfect, so we need to be constantly watching. In Revelation 3, verses 2 and 3, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. That's John writing to the church at Sardis. And listen, that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, hear is what God says concerning the church at Sardis. I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come up on thee. Beware. We cannot slack off as others have done because in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul writes in verses 6 through 9, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men. Be strong. That's what God wants. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Take heed, Jesus said, and beware. And specifically about the doctrine. Doing the will of God from the heart. I was just fingering through the Bible the other day. And it was real interesting. Ephesians chapter 6, reading where Paul was talking to servants. Listen, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling. And singleth your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ. And then, look what it says, doing the will of God from the heart. That's what we'll do. When we're children of God, from the very heart, we're doing the will of God. Then, in Ephesians 6, verse 24. Reading further, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ And then he says in sincerity. Sincere. That's what God wants us to be. And then knowing the power of Jesus that is in us. I was talking to one of the elders' wives from over at Weatherly the other day. And she brought this verse to my attention. She was telling me, she said, you know, the Bible speaks of the power of the devil and the power of those who are in Christ. And I think sometimes we forget how powerful the power of Jesus Christ is in us over the power of the devil. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and know what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. No wonder Paul could say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Beware. Take heed. Listen to God. Those of you that are going through some very trying times, some who have relatives that are really, really sick, those of you who have just experienced death in your family, those of you who have family problems, I call your attention to the wonderful salvation that's found in Jesus Christ to help you, that you may be able to bear the difficulties that you must go through as we pass through life. Are you a Christian this morning? If not, why not? Don't you believe the Word? The Word says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Doesn't change for anyone. It's applicable to all. Mark chapter 16, 15 and 16. Why not? This morning here is water. What does hinder you to be baptized? If you're a child of God and you're not ready to meet Jesus face to face, beware. Notice what God says. God promises to forgive us if we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God for His Word. That's all we want. If today you're subject anyway to His invitation, won't you come now while together we stand?